From Studio 65 in our nation's capital, welcome to Season 6, Episode 13 of the Sans Collops for Tuesday, May 1st, 2018. I'm Cardinal, Pan and Canucker here as well. The season's over. The draft is done. And much like the season, the draft didn't exactly go as well as we had hoped. It could have been worse.
Could have been worse.
But didn't exactly go as we had planned. We'll be talking about that, the end of the season, and a bunch of other stuff.
Episode.
Well, I almost was burping in the middle of it, so I figured a little lisp is better than And really, it's number 13, so nothing's going to go right because I deleted my notes just after I sent you guys the show outline. I deleted all mine.
That's what you get for preparing.
Yeah, that's my fault right there. It's May 1st.
It is wonderful.
It's finally starting to feel like spring around here.
Yep.
Just in time for it to rain. However, last weekend was the opening of trout season. I did not go. I had to work this weekend. But the lake where I normally fish, it's got a little bit of ice left on it. 20.
How far north are you going?
24 inches. There's parts of the Ottawa River upriver that are still covered in ice. You can go up around Pembroke, and there's still ice on the river. And that's a flowing body of water.
Oh, it is going to rain the rest of this week.
Well, 60 to 70% chance of rain for the rest of the week, yeah. So, nope, go fishing.
Your Saturday should be good.
Yeah, well, I'm off this weekend. I don't think I'm going. I think I'm actually staying in town. Mm. Have some things to do.
Do you want to help me remulch the backyard?
No.
Okay.
You never know, actually.
I don't even want to do it myself.
I might actually just show up and go, all right, what do you need? Mulch? Yeah. Okay. You got the mulch? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never know. You hadn't mentioned it till
I also don't have any of the tools, so I just got to pour the bags and then stomp on it a bit. It's good.
Wow.
It's good enough.
Okay.
I bought a barbecue.
Did you?
I did.
Excellent.
You had one before, right?
And I had none.
Oh, you had none?
Okay, that's the perfect reason to buy one. Well done by you. How's it cooking so far?
I'm waiting for it to be delivered.
Oh, okay.
Which is fine. You got a Weber Spirit?
Oh, nice.
Two burner?
Two burner, yep.
Yep. So, nice little size and looking forward to it.
Yeah. You'll probably not cook another meal indoors for the rest of the summer.
Why would you? You have a barbecue.
Yeah.
I can cook pretty much anything on a barbecue. I did bacon on a barbecue last summer, and it worked out pretty well.
Pork bacon? Like that like drips fat. And
real bacon.
It's yes. Exciting.
No, it was delicious.
Did you do tin foil or in a skillet?
Right on the grill?
Just on the grill, man.
Wow. You didn't get flames?
I totally would have just dropped
but so what?
Oh, I don't know. It's entertaining.
Flames equal flavor.
That's right. No big deal.
It burns the flavor in.
The only problem, this was up at the camp, at the fishing camp last summer, and we thought we'd run out of propane for the indoor stove and fridge. So I was cooking everything on the barbecue, except I forgot the barbecue has a side burner, because I'm not accustomed to having a barbecue with a side burner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I fired up the barbecue and put the coffee pot in the barbecue and closed the lid and went back inside. So the coffee pot was heating like in an oven.
And everyone was thinking, why did you do that?
No, they didn't really notice because I came back in with coffee 20 minutes later. Here you go.
Okay.
And it was only afterwards I went, hey, dimwit, there's a burner on the side of this one. That might have been slightly more efficient.
Yeah, I just realized that even for my own, I have a side burner. It's like, oh, yeah, because I've never used it.
Oh, it's a perfect thing.
That's great for like if you're
doing veggies or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I do a lot of vegetables.
Because I try to do that on the stove. Sends. I try to do that on the stove. But then I'm like running in and out for the meats like, This is stupid.
Use it on the side for sauces. Do your vegetables on the grill. But
yeah.
If you're making a sauce or something for ribs, they're very handy.
Oh, I was excited because I went to one of these, big major.
I was there!
Big major box stores, and they had a no tax sale. I'm like, well, wow, that's significant, right? Free delivery?
That's like 13% off.
Free assembly?
Oh, really?
Okay. So, like, okay.
You can't assembling that stuff, though.
Fine. Yeah, well,
and that way you also kind of know how to fix it, like if things aren't working right.
I do too, but if I was spending the money, I'm actually with you. If I was spending the money on a Weber, a Napoleon or a nice grill like that, letting somebody else put it together. I know how to build barbecues. Lord knows I built several in my life.
True,
but if I can get somebody else to do it for me, who really does them all the time, there's less chance of something possibly going wrong. And if there's a part missing, they can go and get it.
Yeah.
And they can figure out how to put it together, and it still comes to me on the date that I'm expecting. So life is better that way. Good for you. Oh,
I like the sensation of those big lids.
Big heavy lids. Yeah, that's the thing about...
Is that extra weight on it?
The difference between an inexpensive, you know, buy it at Loblaws for $150 barbecue and buying a real one. Mm-hmm. Like, wait. I had to explain this to somebody last year because they had bought a barbecue. And I was trying to be charitable. They had bought a it felt like an aluminum, like a soup can. It was so thin. They said, but it's got 60,000 BTUs on it. I went, okay, so it generates a lot of heat, but it loses a lot
of heat. It's kind of like, you know, you're watching a Sens game and, you know, you think, oh, that's amazing. You say, well, okay, come here and watch a Vegas game.
Yeah. Well, no, I was trying to be nice, but it's like, this doesn't hold any heat. The great thing about a Weber is it holds the heat in. So once mm-hmm. it's warm, it's like an oven, as long as you keep the lid down. You got lots of heat in there. You don't have to use as much heat, so your food doesn't get dried out.
Can you tell it's no longer winter here?
Is this a barbecue podcast or a hockey podcast? It's been a while, yes.
Even that, because I think it's... Yeah, I'm enjoying this conversation.
Oh, I can talk barbecue.
We
got to
get some positives.
Yeah.
No, it's for work. I think it was actually for a Christmas party, because this is just what my boss does. We went to Barbecue World out in Kanata.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of it. I've never actually been there. But
fantastic.
I've heard of it.
We did a cooking course there.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
Of course, we're like 15, 20 people. So
yeah.
So they broke up into sections.
Do they have demo kitchens for this? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was fantastic. It was really good. So that is something I do recommend for people to go. And they've got a great, great shop.
I'd be all over that. Last cooking class I took was Indian food, and I loved it. I want to take another one, and I want to take a Thai cooking course.
We should go out for Indian food after this.
Ooh.
No, thanks.
It's early enough in the evening. We could do that. Yeah, we're not recording it starting at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. It's, what, 8 o'clock, and it's still light.
And your notes are gone, so this might only be about 20 minutes.
We'll do what we can.
It should be a long one.
Yeah, should be a long one. Let's go.
Burn it down!
Sorry, neighbors.
Seriously, though, burn it down. Take this season on ice and off ice and just burn it to a rubble of ash and then flush it down the toilet.
And then make
5 times. And then you're probably going to have to clog the toilet because, you know, that's the way the season's been.
Oh, you see, here is
I. And then take the toilet out and blow it up with dynamite.
Here was I think you were going to take the season, burn it to ash, and then make a really good smoky eye with it.
That's mean.
No.
You're being mean to her appearance.
That's funny. No, you're making fun of the things that go on a regular basis. It has nothing to do with appearance. Like, not really snowflake. This from the collective group that, you know, approves of people being referred to as Pocahontas, among other things. So, yeah, let's move on.
That's not the worst one.
No, that's just that's one of the ones I can actually mention without making myself look like a complete douche. I mean, only partially so. We're not doing game recaps for the last few games of the season because it's over. Who cares?
It's been a long time.
And it's been a while. It has been a while. We do have stuff to talk
about. I was just
very
happy that in that last game of the year that we could actually cheer for the team because we clinched 30th.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we can go out and beat Boston. Danny Taylor's starting. Never mind.
Let's just
say... It didn't matter anymore, so...
At the end of the season, the Ottawa Senators did all they could to lose those games and bring on the tank.
But they were legit trying.
Well, of course they were. That's they're supposed to.
Yeah. Like, really, when like avoid the tanking and all that, it's like Tim Murray did a fantastic job for it, and it didn't work out for him.
No, but it did work out for... What's the GM there now? In Buffalo? Man.
Oh, no. They're a tire fire.
Well, they're a tire fire.
Yeah. Like, hey...
We'll get to that.
Kettle.
We'll get to that. The first thing... We have another unfortunate piece of news to start the show... Well, start this part of the show with. Was longtime major... Ottawa Senators fan and involved in many different things with the Sens and the Sens involved with him, Jonathan Petra, who has been known as the Butterfly Child, and I can't possibly pronounce the condition he's been suffering from, but it's for years he's had a very crippling skin disease, and he had gone to Minnesota to get a stem cell transplant, which was working, and unfortunately got an infection that went septic, and he died a couple of weeks ago.
He did chemo twice, so his
immune system was so suppressed. Because that's what you have to do to get a T-cell or a stem cell transplant.
Which is very, very, very sad.
Very sad indeed. Because he had been involved with the Ottawa Senators and the NHL as a whole for quite a while. Because it was about, was it 2014 where he was made GM for the day?
I think so.
And he was
great. He caught everyone's...
He caught everybody's eye.
He should have re-upped Carlson then.
But he was on the radio, and he
had thrown out contracts left and right.
He was on the radio, and at one point, I think it was the pregame show, and Sean Simpson had said to him, "Oh, you only got a 1-day contract. Maybe you need to speak to my agent. Maybe you need to get a better agent." And Jonathan came right back with saying, "My agent's my mother. She could take you." Or you know, words like that. And I was like, whoa.
He was a sharp cookie.
Oh, I was about 13 years old at the time. I'm like, wow.
Because I think they reposted the video of him doing that.
Yeah.
That day as a GM.
It was impressive.
And even that, because he's watching the game, is against Nashville. I remember that. And he's just like, well, you really shouldn't leave Shea Weber open like that. And goal. Oop. And then he's sitting with Dorian. He's like, yep. Yeah, he's just taking his notes down.
It was good, and it was also the other I guess it was there was a game that night in Pittsburgh, and both the Senators and the Penguins had the butterfly EB sticker on their helmets, because I had forgotten this until I did a little bit of research in 2014, or I think it might have been right around the time that he was GM for a day. There was something going on, and Jonathan Petra needed a suit. And Sidney Crosby contacted his mom, said, get his measurements, and went to his tailor in Montreal and said, make him any suit he wants.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
And that was a story that I had heard long after it had actually happened, but it was never one that got a whole lot of attention. Mm. It's like, good on you. Like, that's a genuinely wholesome human being thing to do. Well done. So that was a sad day in Ottawa Senators. Dumb. Because the team had gone to visit him in Minnesota. It was last year.
Yeah.
They stopped in to visit him, and he was in regular contract with a couple of players. Mm-hmm. So it was a good bond, a very close bond between the team, as in the players, not just the organization, but the players and he. So sad day indeed. But well observed by both teams in the game that night. Mm-hmm. I give full marks on both sides
and
of that.
And he will be
Memorialized.
Thank you.
That's right. Yeah, thank you. I'd forgotten.
In regards to the hardest working player in the
training camp or rookie camp.
Rookie camp. Yeah. Which he spoke at a couple years ago.
And they're going to keep using the videotape of him doing one of them. Because that was a tremendous
video. This kid was something else. Over and above that, I'm hoping that the Sens, when they do the draft for the fourth overall, they dedicate the pick to the memory of Jonathan Petra. I think that'd be a nice little.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do. I wouldn't.
Instead of congratulating the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes, I was just going to make a joke on that. Congratulations, Las Vegas.
They're so good. The house always wins. Like, what do you want?
6-1, baby.
Jesus.
They're doing very well in the playoffs. I'll give full credit on that.
It's so late.
Is it ever?
So late.
Is it ever?
Free. Double overtime. Good night.
There have been a lot. Well, we can. I mean, we didn't really have anything to talk about the end of the Senators season. So why don't we just go off Senators for a minute? We'll talk.
Yeah, well, let's go off Senators and stay positive for a while.
You don't want to talk about Carlson picking up the puck at the end of the game?
Well, you can. Was anybody surprised that he did that?
Not really.
No, I was not surprised. And if I was his agent, I would have told him to.
I lost my mind. Yeah.
It's a power move.
It is a power move.
Well, actually, why don't we talk about that now? So he did that. Let's carry this on to the next stage. So if you were the Ottawa Senators and you were intending to keep him, mm-hmm. which we all hope they are.
Yeah.
And
correct.
Here's the question. There's all been a whole lot of talk about, well, the team has to make a fair offer and they have to show that they're serious and they can't lowball him and they can't do what they did with Alfie, allegedly. And they can't do this and they can't do that and blah, 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 blah. So here's the question.
Even though Alfie said it himself.
Here's the question. What is your opening offer to Erik Karlsson?
$12 million, 8 years.
No, not 12. 12?
12, 8.
That's your opening offer, or that's where you want to end up?
That's where I want to end up.
Well, what's your opening offer? You can't lowball him, so what's your opening offer? Because if you say $12 million,
$11.65 million.
Nice, I like it.
So he says no. Well, if your opening offer is $11.65 million and you want to end at $12 million, what do you think he's going to come back with? $14 million, and you expect him to end up at $12 million?
He's going to come back.
With? This is where I'm going. Like, you can't lowball. You don't want to lowball him. You don't want to insult him.
I don't think they're going to go back and forth that badly.
Depends on where, well, depends on where you want to end up and where you start from.
Where the hell is Nashville?
However, there's a difference between negotiating in good faith where you want to end up on a 12.
Yeah.
The messaging I'm hearing from Mr. Melnick and Dorian, it's almost like they're preparing you for the fact that they're going to offer him 7-8 million per year. And they're not going to go up from that. That's our number.
But
as Melnick doesn't seem to believe that players should make $10 to $12 million.
Well, the only words I've heard from, the only words, not what other people are reading into them.
That was straight from town hall.
The words I've heard was, we are going to make a fair market offer.
Yeah.
A fair market value for Erik Karlsson.
So, to be fair, they can't talk about it.
They can't, and they got in big trouble for that.
All they said is, always going to make more money than any of us ever dreamed of.
But the only problem with that is you're taking Eugene and Pierre Dorion at their word, which has been very, very difficult to take this year.
Well, as opposed to...
But they've painted themselves in this giant corner. Well, not even a giant corner. It's this tiny corner.
Oh, yeah.
That whatever you say now, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Actions will speak.
Yeah.
Actions will speak.
I think the fan base as themselves and talking to my ticket rep, because I'm literally sitting, I'm like, I want to give you my money. I want to go to the games. But everything that you guys are doing are making me not do that. And he gets it. And he's like, we have a lot of clients that are on hold to see what happens in July.
Understandable.
And yeah.
But my question is, it's an honest question. Where would you start?
8 years, 10 million.
You see, I was thinking somewhere, that's where my...
That, as an opening?
Because it's a negotiation. You don't go in with, it's like buying a car. You don't go in and say, this is what I'll pay you, because right. This is what I want to pay you. You start low. It's or buying jewelry in Mexico. Okay, this is what I want to pay, so I start below and work up to where I want to be.
And
but you don't want to be insulting to make it too low.
Right.
And you don't want to set it so high that you don't have much room to move to where you want to finish at.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll end up at 14, where you don't want to be.
And then the other thing with that, because that's just your cap hit. So you can stagger out the payments, because, again, and it sounds like Melnick is dumb and just doesn't want to sell the team, even though I think he really should, because I don't know where the money's going to come from. But next year, you sign him to an 8-year deal. It doesn't start next year.
Starts the year after.
Starts the year after. Then what about the first year of the deal, you pay him 8.5, 9.5, 10, 12, 14, 9, 8, 7, 7.
Yep. You can do something stuff like that.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I didn't do the math, but that's where the average comes in.
It can't move.
It
can vary. The lowest year cannot be less than 50% of the highest year.
Correct.
Oh.
And there's, whoa. I believe it's
a... Whoa. Excuse me. Ugh. Some basso profundo on that one.
And I think there's a 20%. Like, I'm just throwing numbers out right now. But you can delay the heavy payments if you want. And I don't think he'll care.
Until there's a new arena.
Lockout, that's 5 years out at least. So he's going to want to get paid before that. Lockout protection will be an issue.
How much of it comes as a salary bonus on July 1st every year versus what?
No, just the lockout year too. Because Melnick won't want to pay him a bonus and then lock him out.
Yeah, well.
Even though don't lock out Melnick.
Well, he's got one of 31. One of 31 32 votes probably at that point.
So yep. It's all about, because that's what
And it's also a floating year, so it might have to be 2 years.
2 years, exactly.
And his cash flow is crap.
But that's something that'll have to be negotiated through everything else.
Yep.
Okay, so, well, you want all 10 million of that season, because it might be a lockout. You want all of it as signing as bonus on July 1st, and you'll pay for $500,000 or whatever it is that year. Mm-hmm. Well, no.
I just don't see what the whole... They should have handled it better in the press from the beginning.
Agreed. It's been a bit of a crap shoe.
So if you don't want to say anything, don't say anything. All I have to do is say, he's not for sale. We want to re-sign him. We can't talk about contract details until July 1st.
And that would have done
but
it.
But we're going to do what we're going
to
do.
And we want Erik Karlsson to be a senator for life.
He was created on the 8th day.
Nothing wrong to do that.
Just boom. End it.
And that really would have ended it.
And stay off Toronto radio.
Yes!
But there's a reason why Melnick's going to Toronto radio. It's because he's mad at Ottawa radio.
He hates Ottawa media. He can't stand the fan base. Again, he's a company that's mad at the clients.
Yeah.
Which is big, big trouble.
I've mentioned it before. I've gone through different stages. I think I'm past the angry stage, although I hear him say stuff and it gets me angry again. Now it's more into apathy, where people ask me, are you still a Sens fan? Yeah, I'm going to follow the team. They're here local. I'll follow, of course. And Carlson stays, of course I'm going to follow. Am I going to go and spend my money on this owner? I'm going to keep it to a bare minimum. You know?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Until something changes.
I'm sitting here wearing a Washington Capitals shirt, and I got a Las Vegas Golden Knights jersey. You know, it's... That's... You know, thank you, Melnick. You've sold out my fandom. I don't want to support you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, for me, hockey season's over, and I'm more interested in what's been going on in the NFL. Because I'm not a baseball fan. I'm not a basketball fan. So for me, it's all about the CFL and the NFL. CFL will start sooner, but the NFL...
The big winners out of all of this is the CFL.
What's that? Yeah. Well...
Because people are shifting money from Sens to Red Blacks. So, like, forget this.
Well, the games are almost always sold out anyway, but now...
Oh, are they?
Oh, yeah. They've had one or two home dates in their history that weren't sold out.
Let's go town hall.
Sold out. Not full necessarily, but sold out. They have been sold out.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Let's go to the town hall things. That happened since last recording.
Yeah, sorry. Those weren't in my notes. Well, they were in my notes until I erased them all.
So things that came up.
People are dumb.
You went to one of them.
People are just dumb.
And you have... Explain why you say that.
So the one that really sticks out to me is one lady who sits and stands up.
Uh-oh.
It says, I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years. And she's very positive in anything else. Mr. Melnick, how come there's no direct bus coming from downtown right to the arena?
Oh. There is.
You have been a season ticket holder for 2 decades. You somehow get to the games. Why are you asking the owner of the hockey team, which is, this is your one... possibly only chance that you'll have to have FaceTime with him, and you ask him what the bus schedule is.
There is. I take it. Well, I shouldn't say, I have taken it.
Yeah.
It goes directly out, comes directly home.
And Melnick doesn't know the ins and outs of this. Why would he? About the whole transit system, complains about the city a bit.
He travels in a limousine. And then after that, Noah.
Mr. Melnick. No, he traveled from downtown to the rink once, like us commoners. And he complained about it. He's like, man, it's like, this highway doesn't have enough lanes. I'm like, we're extending the highway. All of your complaints
are being addressed.
He's complaining about the LRT. It's like, why is it stopping at Moody? It should stop at Eagleson. I'm like, no, it shouldn't. He's like, well, it should get to the arena. I'm like, the arena isn't at Eagleson. And the arena's going downtown. What are you talking
about? He's thrown shade at LeBreton.
Again, it's his very poor positioning of negotiating.
He's basically, he's really in the town halls, made mention that, well, you know, things maybe aren't going as well. Maybe we'll stay in Kanata. Now, I agree with you.
Before.
I think
he's trying to negotiate in the public. You know what that does? That just pisses me off. Like, dude, I'm not supporting you.
Well, I think he shouldn't be negotiating with the NCC and... in the public eye.
He had the mayor of Ottawa come out and ask, are you serious about coming downtown or not?
Because they need to move on.
If you're not serious, then we're moving on.
Right. And Eugene Melnick's public popularity versus Jim Watson's public popularity, good luck.
But the city of Ottawa doesn't have anything to do with it. It's NCC land.
It's all intertwined.
But
because the city has a big piece of it. And he's like, I need to talk to the feds again in regards to their conflict of interest clause. It's like there is zero appetite from anyone about this.
Well,
that they can receive gifts.
You can't.
He wants them to change your policy.
They can't.
Good luck with that, sir.
They're not going to.
They can change it. There's no appetite to change it.
Well,
from anyone.
Technically, they could, but
from it happens all the time under the table. But
yeah, from an official standpoint, you cannot change that because it's not just about hockey tickets. It's about conflict of interest.
It's about boondoggles and scandals.
Period. Yeah. It's conflict of interest. It's really just that simple. It's not a complicated thing. It has nothing to do with your hockey team. It has to do with conflict of interest.
Do the Washington Capitals complain about this in the District of Columbia? Or surely they have similar rules.
No. U.S. is totally different.
Oh, no. They don't have the rules like
that. U.S., you can throw money in. You got lobbyists.
That's what called lobbyists.
You can just pork belly the thing out of it?
Hello. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with... Yeah. Yeah,
the fat figs.
So
you can't drain the swamp. The swamp is just getting deeper. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I especially like how my question was the very last of the whole series. And actually asked a legitimate question.
I remember what you asked, but I don't remember it now.
So I was like,
how are you doing it?
Yeah, and even in that, as I was asking the question, the crowd really perked up. They're like, oh, this is a good question. Just Eugene, because I refuse to call him Mr. Melnick. Eugene, do you intend to retain the CEO and president's roles permanently, or are you looking for or are you looking for field experts to take over these roles and responsibilities? If so, what are the skills and experiences that you're looking for?
The role of CEO and president.
President.
Which is both. Usually held by both. Both are held by the same person?
Yeah, so
some leader
well, he is, yeah, I think CEO is fine. It was all the same thing, really.
Okay.
So you give his answer, and I'll give you the...
Zero leader was a
I'll give you the interpretation.
Right.
Give his answer, I'll interpret it for you.
So essentially, it's like, I can oversee the business. It's like, that I'm fine with, and I'm good at that. Like, well, the Ontario Securities Commission disagrees. But I'll give you that. The day-to-day stuff, I don't want to deal with. A lot of the people there, they're on auto drive, so they can just run it themselves without interruption. So they don't need me around. I'm like, yeah, agreed. We really don't need you around poking your head about that. Then he talked about in regards to marketing. I'm not good at it. I want someone else. I need someone to do this. For game ops, we're looking in regards to that. We have a consultant in. We've asked him to go to Vegas, and we've asked him to go to Raptors games. I have points on that piece, too. What else did he say?
Raptors games rather than Leafs games. That's interesting. We'll get back to
the Raptors experience is a huge...
I know. That's where I want to go with that. That's where I want to go with that.
So Vegas and Raptors. And what else did he say? Oh, yeah. And so these are the types of people that we're looking for, but we're a small market team, so we can't get the top people to do this for us.
Translation? I'm hiring some summer interns.
No. Well.
Nope.
No.
He's not paying anybody.
Burned. I know that bridge is burned. That bridge is burned. That's the problem.
Because
Cyril was very good at what he did. But the bridge is
but
burned.
But all this game off.
Every decision by this man is all about dollar. This team decisions now are all about Eugene's wallet. Now, they're not about what's the smart hockey decision. Now, yes, some smart hockey decisions do affect your wallet. Absolutely. But it's no longer what's the best decision hockey sense. It's now what's the best decision financially.
And on the hockey piece, it has to be, it takes money to make money. On the business side of things, that's what you need to look at. My overall, from what I sat down and because I know the other two kind of came out and people leaked it and all that stuff, or recorded it and whatnot, and we're tweeting or quoting about it. Media did a very good job on the first one.
Yeah.
Because it's the media, so you can trust their words, even though everything's their fault, apparently. But on the business side, Eugene Melnick gets it. On the hockey side, he's got no friggin' idea what he's doing. All the answers he's given is like, that's not how you run a team.
Well, he's considering a sports franchise to be just another company.
Right.
And that's... And it's not. Because his company, anything he's had as a company, has been a...
Patents.
Well, it's been something that produces. Yeah. It's been a company that produces X, Y, or Z.
Yes.
Hockey doesn't...
On a need basis, too, because it's pharmaceuticals.
But hockey is not something that produces a product. What it produces
entertainment.
Is entertainment, which is not something which you can quantify.
So I guess it's a service. Yeah,
it's more of
is
a service.
Is it a service or is it
I would qualify it
or
as
an
a
intangible
service.
Product? Yeah,
I would qualify it as a service because anything that you're providing something to somebody else, which is not necessarily a tangible thing.
Yeah,
I mean, a restaurant is a service industry. Yes, you're getting dinner. Yeah. You're getting dinner, but the service is not. It's not just that there's food. It's that it's coming to you.
I'm surprised Eugene hasn't gone down the charitable organization.
100% right.
Same sort of thing.
Saying, look, Ottawa, you're such a small market. You know, you should be thankful I'm here providing this to you. So I should be a charity.
Well, he's done that. I saved the team.
It. Yeah.
He keeps reverting
small
back.
Small market.
That. So my whole thing, and I'm actually going to be co-writing something with someone else for Silver Sevens, is my whole idea around the whole thing is forget small market.
Why would you say that?
Stop saying we're a small market, because then it's like buying a pizza at the freaking gas station instead of going to
Costco,
Gabriel's. But anyways, forget the small market.
It's not the problem.
Ottawa is a local market. It's a local market, which needs to be branded with national and global appeal.
It's an interesting thought. I'm still digesting
your point. What you said. I agree.
I'm not talking.
It's a better word.
I'm digesting what you said.
So we can't, because remember when he did My Town, My Team? Local market, was it nationally attractive?
No.
Correct. So that's not the way to do it.
And international, I like your idea of international because we're the standard bearers for that. Forget. From last year, or was it
and
2 years
ago?
If
you really
ago?
Want...
This is a capital market.
Yeah.
That's right. And you can move from Ottawa Senators to Capital City Senators.
Never happened.
Well, they don't need to rename themselves.
But even with that... As people come into Ottawa to visit, and LeBreton will be a place for visitors.
Here now, Ottawa was actually brilliant.
I loved it. It was just a terrible year for it.
Yeah.
Because nothing was...
Everything...
Here or Quebec. Yeah. Now, or 3 to 5 years from now, Ottawa maybe.
Ottawa, LeBreton, maybe just Kanata. Maybe Quebec.
Well, Kanata now is Ottawa because thank you to the mega city from Mike Harris 15 years ago, this is actually Ottawa.
We actually
right. It used to be Kanata. Right. It used to be the city of Kanata.
Yeah, it used to be long distance from my parents' house to here.
Yes. But you see, that CRTC deregulation. That has nothing to do with
Really?
Politics.
Okay. Well, yeah. Anyways.
I can explain that if we have a lot
CRTC
of time.
Has nothing to do with politics.
No, it has nothing to do with
but anyway, that part. So kind of going back to the point here. If you focus on the game experience of it to be local, because you have Toronto and Montreal, and if you keep saying it's like, well, they're the bigger markets, we're just kind of happy to be here.
But we're not any smaller than...
It's not like before where we're on TV, you would get the Sens game, you would get your local team, and then Saturdays would be the national game. And that was your only exposure to the NHL hockey.
It's every night now.
It's every night, and you can stream it online. You can watch any team.
For sure.
So, what we were saying is, like, the Vegas Golden Knights, outside of the time difference, are a very exciting team.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch. It's nice to see. Nashville and Winnipeg are fun to watch.
Yep.
That has been one hell of a series so far.
Oh, it's
wow.
Beautiful. And people are saying, like, I want this in the third or fourth round. I'm like, I don't. Because everyone is healthy.
Everyone still has energy.
third round, players start to get hurt. So you're not really going to get the best on best. Winnipeg. When he said, I want to see what Vegas does and I want to see what the Raptors do. So I want your guys' opinions on that first. And then I've got points.
Well, you better invest in your sound system if you want to do what Vegas does.
Oh, he needs a subwoofer.
He needs a friggin' subwoofer.
It's a subwoofer.
Well, several, but
yeah.
I haven't been to Vegas. You have. I find it interesting that he's looking at...
Well, Vegas can pull off, they can pull off the kitschiness.
Well, it's because
Vegas.
It's Vegas. Vegas is about the spectacle.
They can pull off the corny because they are.
Yeah. But we've been through this in a previous episode. What did we say about the Vegas experience? We've done a lot of it here.
Yep.
We just need a better subwoofer.
We need the sound system to be upgraded because it is.
Yeah.
I mean, and I made the comment. I don't know if I made it during an episode or when you and I were just chatting.
Well, everything was broken.
Well, it sounds different depending on where you are in the building because different parts of the arrays are working.
Yeah,
have repaired that. I don't think you've been into a game in a while either.
What if they bring down a great big O?
Not any of them coming up, but
lower the O down. The players skate through. Well, you have to cut off the bottom of the O, and then they layer it back up. You know, yeah. San Jose is a shark.
And we did that in Binghamton.
Well,
and we
the made Oilers
fun
have
of it.
The Oilers have their oil derrick.
The oil rig, yeah. Now, we're going to have the Centurion next year again, so.
Helmet?
It's at least 2 years. Do the helmet.
Yeah, why not?
Put
some flashing lights on it or, you know, smoke pods or something.
Do you want to talk about your idea, Pan, or is it going
to
be...
No, I want to continue with your...
As for the Raptors, I don't watch basketball, so I've
been to a game.
I don't care.
You loved it.
Well, no, you I love the experience. I enjoyed the game, but, you know, I think it's a different culture. Hockey tends to have a rock, you know, that kind of influence in music. Basketball has more R&B. It's all hip-hop. Hip-hop feel. So you Gangsta. Do notice that right away. They have dancers, which you're not going to get on the ice.
It's also a very different experience. It's an immediate and constant stream of hits.
They play music while the game's like, on.
There's
a constant stream of things happening in a basketball game.
Yes. It does not stop.
You have a shot clock and there's no defense. If you want to make basketball like hockey like basketball, take the goaltender out. Then it'll be like basketball.
Well, it was. Yeah,
that's true.
Right? It'll be like basketball. There's no
Erik Karlsson, 4-3.
There's a penalty.
I'll just keep Mike Condon in.
There's a penalty in the NBA for goaltending.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to play defense. Yeah.
You cannot stop the ball when it's on its way down.
Exactly. So you can't do that sort of thing. Well, just take the goalie out. Don't
tell that to Cleveland, though.
You know,
you can stop it on the way up.
Yeah, no.
LeBron's so tall he can hit it from the roof.
No, because they blew a goaltending call.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
And then they ended up winning the game.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the kind of thing that would make... There's a significant cultural difference in the terms of the aspect of the game itself between basketball. Yep. Like, basketball because is such quick hits. Action, 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 action. Hockey is, but it's a big flowing thing back and forth. There's not scoring going on every 20 seconds.
Things are
going
to happen.
Yeah.
And when they happen fast.
For sure.
And in reality, hockey's got, what, 3 minutes of actual excitement?
The last three?
No, it's like, well, okay, now I've got a breakout, and then that's exciting.
Yeah.
But it's like, the sensor on the power play, it's like, I'm going to go get another hot dog.
I haven't had a hot dog in a while. I need a hot dog.
Hot dogs are delicious. But yeah, that said, football. Basketball, you can play music, and there's things happening throughout the game.
Well, that's
lacrosse. You cannot do that in hockey, or at least you're not allowed to under the NHL rules at this time.
Lacrosse has music during the game.
Yeah.
Like, while it's being played.
Yeah. So but that's just to keep people... It's a lower... Not level, but lower interest sport.
Here's an idea. Give fans on the ends, on the 100 level, those things like they have in the NBA, they wave around when someone's taking a free shot to try to distract the shooter. No, that when the other team's on the power play. Making a whole bunch of distractions. And
that'd be kind of fun. Or just yell, shoot.
That's been done.
That's been done, yeah.
Lots of people yell, shoot.
So between all of that, when you're saying we're small market, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's what you just saying.
Frig, I can't find it very quickly. There we go. What's the population of Ottawa?
Greater Ottawa, including the Quebec side? 1.2 million.
What's the population of Winnipeg?
360,000.
705.
What? Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Seven? No.
The GWA.
That's what Wikipedia says. 2016 census.
How wide are they going on Winnipeg to make it 700,000?
Yeah, but we're crossing into a different province here.
Well, yes, we're crossing into a different province that's closer to the Parliament buildings than I'm sitting now.
I understand that, but, yeah, but from Gatineau to Quebec, Gatineau to Kanata takes a long time on game nights.
Right.
So where the game is now, it does take a long time to get.
True. But 700,000 in Winnipeg.
Wow.
What were you going with that?
Since I was there, clearly.
You don't hear them complain about small market, do you?
Correct.
Because there's not a government, it's all business.
There's not much business in Winnipeg. It's what, insurance?
Yeah, insurance.
Insurance, investments.
Boeing.
Oh, Boeing's there?
Yeah.
What's the population of Calgary?
Over a million.
What's the population of Edmonton?
Over a million.
So they're very similar. But are they saying small market?
No government. It's all oil.
Yeah.
it's all oil. There's a lot of business.
Ottawa needs other industries. Yes.
Absolutely. The problem is the biggest single employer is the federal government.
Yeah.
Why is that a problem? They can go.
They can go, but they can't,
individuals.
Yes.
Right.
They can go as people paying for it, but they can't go as somebody paying for their ticket.
Right.
That's the big difference. In Calgary and Edmonton and Winnipeg, they can go.
It's all big oil. No.
There's a lot of money that goes into, in any area. How many season tickets are in Toronto are held by companies?
Yeah, that's the thing.
As opposed
to individuals. No one pays to go to the game.
Yeah. Well, you do if you're rebuying somebody else's tickets. Therein lies the problem.
But population-wise, Ottawa's not.
They're fine.
It's not that different. It's just a different It's and, a non different.
Okay, and if you don't like the industry and the fact that the government will buy it, then sell the team.
Well, no, it's just a different.
I don't like my customer base. Okay, buy.
It's a different market ticket marketplace. It's the same population. It's a different ticket marketplace. That's the difference. That's all. That it's not about. I mean, there's so much corporate sponsorship in other cities that simply cannot happen.
It's here. All about well, his wallet.
Yeah.
It's all about his wallet.
Well, that's fine. I still can't see how these guys can lose money. But one, the government needs to pay their employees.
Well, there's that too.
The little and Phoenix two, problem. Eugene needs to
shut up.
Stop talking.
Go race horses.
Because he is not. He sold all that to. Actually, I think he's buying back.
Any he has some now. Horses because he's still racing. He's
breeding. No, he sold was everything he and now he's. I think he rebought to breed. If I believe.
Go back to Barbados.
But he also complained that the money that he gets for breeding now is much lower than what it used to be.
Well, go back to Barbados. So enjoy it.
Fucking buy. Like, just... If you... Why do you like it? Do you even like owning this hockey team?
Well, he says he does. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
He says he does.
And what's your end game?
Can't say. That I do not know. I don't know. All right, enough on Eugene.
I'll end with this. He paved the way. Now, actions will speak louder than words. But with his words, he basically paved the way for a lowball offer, with a cap being that lowball, to be extended to Erik Karlsson this summer, because that way he can say, well, we extended them on offer. It was much more money than...
And we can get blown out 5-1 by the competition.
Yeah, and you mentioned that 5-1 comment. Which doesn't make any sense. And so there's that.
Net of tax.
We just heard that the coaching staff staying, maybe with some modifications, but, you know, the existing personnel are staying. Of course, because that's the cheapest thing to do. And it is. It is at face value. If you're going to do you're not going to spend money on getting another coach, what they did is makes the most sense, because you don't have to spend any more money. So that's how everything gets handled now.
Well, you see, I'm looking at the coaching decision from a very different point of view. And you're probably going to argue with me, and I'm fine with that.
Go for it.
Okay.
Wrong.
Solid. Guy Boucher was hired, and if you recall, first off, remove revisionist history from the equation, okay? Remove hindsight from the equation, okay? You're not allowed to go, but we know now, or if only they had done this then, because we know that this was going on. Not allowed to do that, okay? When Guy Boucher was hired, do you recall how long the conversation was between Guy Boucher and Pierre Dorion before he was hired? They had a big, long conversation.
It was 6 hours, wasn't it?
8+ hours of talk.
Yeah.
Okay? So it was clear that there was an awful lot of talk of, what are you going to do if you get this job? Right? I mean, that's would be the clear question. And we all know that Guy Boucher is a very good speaker. He explains himself very well. Well, that's why we like him about post-game conferences. Whether we agree with what he's saying or not, he's very good at explaining. He's very good at showing what's going on.
Agreed.
So, he had a plan. And he sold Pierre Dorion on that plan. And he was hired. And the first year, the plan worked. We know it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It had some hiccups. It didn't work all the time. But it worked. And it worked enough to get to Game 7, double overtime, blah, blah, blah. Conference final. The next year...
Let's rip that scab off.
The next year started with the same plan. And the next year started reasonably well. Not perfectly, but reasonably well. Enough to be in a playoff position until going to Sweden. And after they came... Which was in November, so a month in. And when they came back from then, the wheels fell off. And things...
December.
Things didn't work well, November and through December, and things just weren't working. There were a whole pile of injuries and a whole lot of other things going on and new personnel that weren't working out and yada, 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 yada.
We're not doing hindsight here.
Well, they were things that were pretty obvious at the time, but in hindsight, it can even be strongly
It didn't work.
Observed.
Yep.
Now, the question that I thought was, and because a lot of hindsight has been applied after the season, well, if only they had.
Done what? Switched coaches?
If they'd only done something different.
Oh, done something different.
Okay. So the question is, and I ask this as an honest question, because I've been struggling to figure out where my answer would lie. Which is, where is the threshold for saying we have to change the way we're doing this? Is it 5 losses? Is it 10 losses? Is it 10 losses in 15 games? Where does the threshold lie?
In previous years or moving forward?
Well, even
in general,
even just in, it's a general question. And I say this simply because when we were going through November and December, we could see that things weren't working. Mm-hmm. But where do you draw the line of we're going to throw out everything we've been doing and try something new?
It's like an investment. The market's going down. Do I hang on?
Where do you draw the line of where? I mean, because if you try something new,
I think it depends on the circumstances. Because you have, I would say, somewhere around 10 to 12 games. If you feel like you've been found out, if you have a system and it's been found out and it seems to be being exposed routinely by, you know, you've made a round through half the league and this is becoming an issue, maybe then,
possibly. Yeah. But the other
thing, I guess if the opposition has multiple pro scouts that actually watch your previous games, so they can say this is a system that they're using and this is,
well, this is
like on the power play, because the power play objective was get it to Hoffman.
How long do you have in the NFL? You have minutes sometimes to adapt to what's going on.
But I mean, in the NFL, you also have multiple systems, which you have game plans for like 40 or 50 different plays and mm-hmm. so many different combinations of defense. It's not one overarching system.
And how do you work those through to the team?
Well, I'm getting to that. Don't worry, I'm getting to that. Because I agree, and we've already had that conversation.
So, I am the sky.
So my question... No.
That's not it.
My question is, you know, if they had decided in December, or like even sort of just before Christmas, this isn't working, we need to change it, would that have caused any worse of a season than we had?
Can't!
Well, that's kind of my point. So do you keep trying to fix the problems that are happening with the existing system, or do you throw it out and try something new? Either way, your season is screwed. Screwed.
Correct.
And was brought in, and the total of the some point I'm trying to make is, he was brought in with an idea of how to make this team successful. And it worked in the first year. It worked in the beginning of this year.
I don't know if it did in the beginning, but
yeah, they
were, had a winning record before they went
good.
To Sweden.
No, yeah. But were they good there with the warts. System, though? That's what I mean.
I've got a point.
There were warts, but it was a lot of, just like in the first year, it was players learning to play it or trying to figure out what their role within it was.
Sure.
And especially with the number of changeover of personnel that we had, fair enough. But it was at least working enough to have a winning record. And then when everything fell apart, do you keep trying to fix the system that you know works with that team? Or do you say, throw the season, let's try something different? There is no winning answer to that question.
Correct.
That you can't win. You are screwed no matter what you try.
Probably.
So he's in a no-win situation.
Yes.
And that happens.
Yeah. So it's Nelson.
So I agree with you on the system.
Going
but
to the general manager opinion, everything that, because it, I don't think it was individual players failed. It's the overall, everything just collapsed.
Yeah.
Can you risk another season with the same people? That's why coaches get fired and hired so much.
And I will freely admit that I don't have a problem with giving Guy Boucher another shot as head coach.
Well, I don't know who else to get, so why not? It's a cheap answer.
I'm not even looking at the money side of things. Like, if you look around as to who is available, never mind who might come here.
Oh, right.
But who is available, Anna Vigneault, is one. But after that, it gets really thin.
Right.
Really quickly.
Dave Tippett? Sutter, who was with LA.
Okay, I would not want a Sutter brother. Big heavy hockey, not going to work here.
Who's the other guy?
Dave Tippett from...
Kevin Dineen. I think Kevin Dineen would actually be a good fit.
Which Dineen brother used to play here? Is it Kevin or the other one? Early 90s.
I think Kevin might
have. I think Kevin played here.
But he's also coached women's hockey, different levels of hockey.
It's a possibility. So,
considering that it's going to be a younger team, a faster team, a more entertaining team, which is what Pierre Dorion told us, I believe, at trade deadline. Kevin Dineen seems to be the right person for that.
He certainly could be.
Now, they've shuffled the deck around where Guy Boucher is going to take over the power play. Mark Crawford, and the other assistants are flipping for Eye in the Sky. And
Martin Raymond is off from the bench. Somebody else is coming in, and Martin Raymond is going up.
Yeah, because the one who, Crookston, was running special teams as well. But he was Eye in the Sky, so I'm like, what's going on?
That's kind of hard.
Martin Raymond was pretty much assistant to the coach, not assistant coach. He was always just taking his notes.
Assistant to the regional manager?
Yeah. That's pretty much where he got it from. But now Guy Boucher is going to be in charge of the power play, and Mark Crawford's taking over 5-on-5.
Well, that could be interesting.
So who's really the head coach?
Well, the amount of time we spend in the box, probably still Boucher.
I don't think we take that many penalties.
Just trying to make a joke.
But not that many. With that, power play was 23rd in 2016, 2017, 25th. 2017-18.
And with the amount of talent and firepower this team has, it just doesn't make sense.
And I know, and I think you're a big proponent of this too, is to split the skill between the two sets, PP1, PP2. If things aren't working, load up.
Well,
and remember when Dion came on the team? And it was, you may not remember, because I made a point of this. It's like, because it was Dion and Carlson playing the power play, and they just pinballed it back and forth between them, and then Carlson would shoot it, and I think either the rebound or they'd pass it to Mark Stone, and he just wired it in, and it just worked perfectly because they were moving around and stuff.
Well, that's
the and big. Then like it worked 2-3 times, and then it got clobbered, kiboshed,
because people figure it out.
Well, I don't think it was that.
The other thing is, and is what you were just alluding to, mm-hmm. which is what I've spoken to many times before. The team needs to practice.
Yep.
It needs
to practice. Your power play sucks? Get out there. Well, Carlson's hurt. Okay? Get everybody else out
there. So get power play 2 out there. Or if Carlson's hurt, then he's not playing in this game. Who's playing his place?
Pierre McGuire on the radio says, like, well, they say it's like it's an optional skate for Pittsburgh, let's say. But Crosby's always out there, so everybody else feels like they have to be out there. It's like, no, you don't do that. You, the trainer, is not letting you practice. You have to take the day off.
Yeah. We're not letting
everybody else let's go.
Yeah. It's a mandatory practice for everybody except you. Yeah. You're going to sit in the ice cubes.
With Shabbat on the team now, it's like, right, put Cody Ceci out there.
Yeah. I agree, and that's something I found very frustrating through this past season.
And so why has it taken a year and a half for them to figure out now, okay, well, I'm not going to fire anyone. So again, there's no negative ramification in regards to doing poorly in the Ottawa Senators again. So everyone's back again, but now we're going to change responsibilities.
Well, it's also a 50-50 thing. The first year that this group was together, they did quite well. The second year, they didn't. So you get a shot at it. I'm okay with that.
But the other thing with that is, like, this team year over year has flipped over the top two centers and two of their four defensemen, top four D. And Erik Karlsson was hurt most of the year. Or not great most of the year.
Well, he started playing without having any sort of off-season
which
training.
Which is another thing. It's like, why did you rush him back if you were 8-3? Yes, I know you want him in Sweden, but
maybe they just didn't tell him that.
If you want to get young and fast, why are you playing the old veterans? Because you have them on contract.
Well, you're telling us these things, and then they go back in the same way that in that letter that Eugene copied off the Rangers, or it's like, we're going to go through pain and all this, and we have a new commitment to increasing in regards to our developing and scouting. And then they're like, well, we don't need more scouts. You wrote this letter or signed off on the letter. What did you tell me that you need more? That you're getting more scouts. Now we ask you about it. It's like, oh, we don't need that.
No, they don't want many scouts.
They have no idea what they're doing.
No, I think everybody else does. It's just that he's the wrong person to be answering questions.
No, even Dorion said it, or Dorion didn't necessarily agree with it, or there's other monetary things that are preventing him. It's like, well, we can do that, but I can't get you another player. Is like, I can't buy out Burrows.
Eugene was asked this question. How much money would you sell the team for?
Yeah.
And his answer was?
It's not for sale. Yeah, but something doesn't have a price tag on it.
Yeah, but whatever. Well, how much would it take for you to sell the team?
Yeah. And he's like, it's not for sale, so it's not, no price would matter.
Hmm. Would you trade Eric Carlson?
Well, you got to listen to every offer.
Yeah. By the way, if well, the other side of the coin is, what if he is in negotiations with to sell the team? What's the first rule of that? Non-disclosure.
Yeah.
Non-disclosure. You cannot talk about it.
Which I'm fine. So again, it doesn't matter what he says.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what he says, because you can't, it's you can't, there is no right answer for him with that question.
But if you take all this off-ice stuff and you say it didn't exist, and then we see the on-ice, it's like, man, they're bad, but hey, we're getting a fourth overall pick.
I'm okay with
got
that.
So
it could have been worse.
We would have been a lot more excited about things. Especially, it's like, man, we've got the chance to get Darlene and Carlson and Shabbat. And if Seattle's coming in 2020, that means that Shabbat and Darlene are going to be expansion draft exempt, which means you can take some of the forwards, trade them away for two other defensemen to protect Carlson and the other defenseman and the other defenseman. And then you've got Gustafsson that's going to be 21. That's building from the back end. Yeah, we're going to be a good 3 to 5 years from now. That's what we would be excited about. I don't know where to spend my money.
I get tired of this, like, oh, well, we're going to be good in 3 to 5 years. How do you know?
That's the plan.
You said that 5 years ago.
Well,
you don't know.
But it worked last year.
Do you think you're the only team out of 31, 32 who has a plan to get better in 3 to 5 years?
Out of all 31 teams, which team would say that there won't be cup contenders in 3 to 5 years?
Well, what should they say then?
The ones who are cup contenders now.
It'll be Vancouver. Because Vancouver's it's going to be a long time. And maybe Arizona. And Carolina for sure.
Well, then what?
Buffalo's a mess.
The problem is, then what should the team say? If you don't want them to say
what he just said.
I don't want saying that you're going to be good in 3 to 5 years. I'm like, all right.
Well, so why buy now?
Exactly. We will be competing for a playoff position next year. Good.
There.
That's what I need to know.
But if they say that every year, would you believe them?
Actions.
Yeah.
Okay, if they say that next year, would you believe them?
Actions.
I need to see what they do in July.
Well, I would not believe them right now, no.
We will be taking the steps to compete for a Stanley Cup next year.
I wouldn't believe them until I see the actions. Oh,
for a Stanley Cup? No. I'd say compete for a playoff.
Stanley Cup. Okay, we're going to be taking the steps to make sure we're competitive for a playoff berth next year.
I could believe it because I see the pieces that they have. And I see the opportunity that they have to fill the gaps through free agency that they have. Like, get Calvin DeHaan, put him with Carlson. Shabbat and CeCe have been disastrous together, but give it some time because Shabbat's going to get more.
Put Gabrick on the ice because we're paying him.
Like, what the hell?
Alex Burrows, put him on the ice because we're paying him.
I'm a broken record when it comes to Alex Burrows.
You know the most positive thing that's come out of Eugene Melnyk's mouth?
Did I even
mouth?
Tell you about that?
What?
Because I think someone talked about trades or whatnot, and someone yelled out, it's like, we don't need another Burrows. And Dorian laughed.
It was an experiment that didn't work.
Yeah, it
was
an experiment. Dorian laughed at it.
Well, he thought it was funny. I mean, like, okay, that's not a bad line.
The only it's positive.
Something you should play stone face on, but.
Oh, no, but I mean.
I'm his boss. Oh, yeah. That guy.
Whether you believe it or not, it's still a funny line.
The only positive thing that I can recall Eugene Melnyk doing in the last 5 years was that kid who went to school in Montreal with his Ottawa Senator jersey and got sent home, and they limoed them to them. That's it. Yeah. That's it. 5 years, dude.
Yeah, but he saved the team in 2003, so.
Well, he's ruining it in 2018.
Okay, so moving on from that. The draft.
Draft lottery. I was pissed.
I
was pissed.
It's chance.
It's a game of chance. And we're not Vancouver.
I was pissed.
Vancouver has fallen all three of the last 3 years.
You sit through that damn season.
It's our own damn fault for Alex Degg.
For 16% chance.
That's why they brought in the draft.
16.
When the Toronto Maple Leafs were second.
13.5.
Well, that's right. Sorry, 13.5.
When the Toronto Maple Leafs were second place, guess who won the lottery?
So
at 13.5%. So they won it at 13.5. We lost it at 13.5.
And we dropped two positions. Remember the last time we had a top five fit pick? We dropped.
Doesn't matter.
It's frustrating. Yes, I understand the rules.
So you don't want the lottery then?
I'm just frustrated at the result.
I don't necessarily.
That's what I'm getting at.
I just find it somewhat interesting that the new owner of the Carolina Hurricanes ends up with the second overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Positive note: the new owner of the Carolina Hurricanes has the second overall pick. He's crazier than Melnick, maybe.
I was going to say,
he's
kooky. Like,
they're weird. So chances are they might take Kachuk.
Well, they just hired Rick Dudley to be the VP of hockey operations.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the GM.
They also have Don Waddell, though. So they do have two.
Don Waddell isn't the GM either, though.
He's a president.
Hear that Buffalo's open to trading their pick?
No, they're not.
We could listen to all offers.
Well, yeah, they would probably take it. Okay,
half their roster.
We'll take five first-round picks, your number one center and your number one D for that pick. Take it or leave it. Leave it? Thank you.
Eric Karlsson and our first for their first.
Why would you make that trade?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, is that what it would take? Well, if you can't keep Grossman, we should get Darlene.
You'd sell a lot of people like that, but you'd still have 8,000 people in the seats.
Correct.
What were you talking about? Yeah, so draft. It's fine. Because the other thing with that, like, I would have loved to have number one for the same reasons that I just mentioned. Jesus, Preds.
3-0 over the Jets. I can't read the
end other. End of the first.
And what's the other game?
2-1, Pittsburgh in the second.
Yeah.
And that game's in Winnipeg, is it not?
The game's in Winnipeg, yeah. Correct.
Well,
the other one's in Pittsburgh.
Well, thanks, Tibbs. dropping second to fourth. That's where we were.
So, if you look at it in a marathon or a race, the number one pick was on their own. And it looks like 2, 3, 4, and 5 are in a group just behind. Well, not just behind it, but behind it.
Yeah. In the so elite tier.
If he gets Shnevnikov or Chalabic.
Zadina. Or the other dude there.
Kachuk.
Well,
they all seem to be about the same.
Gesundheit.
Zvechnikov a little bit higher.
And they're all wingers, are they not?
Yeah, are no centers, and we don't really.
Well, it depends on what.
I honestly think Mike Hoffman's going to go for RNH. There might be more to that deal. And they make the same money, and RNH is 4 years younger, and he's a center, which fills our 2C spot.
Does he cost less?
It's about the same. But he's 4 years younger.
So he might cost less? That's what all
no,
matters.
No. He makes 6 while Hoffman makes 5.2.
Oh, they're not doing that then.
Okay, well, hang on. We'll explore that.
I think Cody Ceci might get him included in that.
We'll explore that one for a second. So if you make that trade.
So you draft Zadina or Kachuk, probably. One of the two of them. They're a winger. They're NHL ready.
Are they?
Apparently they are.
I don't want Kachuk. He's one of those college guys, and they take forever.
Yeah, I don't know. But they are apparently NHL ready. So then you have, Hoffman's gone, so you've got the draftee, Dzingel, Duchesne, RNH, Stone. You're stuck with Bobby Ryan for the rest of eternity.
Stop that.
And you get 4 years younger.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought too. I keep forgetting that how old Hoffman actually is.
Yay, Caps.
Yeah.
2-2.
There you go. That's an interesting thought. I don't have any more thoughts on it than that. It's an interesting thought.
And Hoffman apparently doesn't have the best attitude.
And
so with the fact that Boucher has no leg to stand on anymore, no one's gonna listen to Boucher. I think that might be another problem in regards to losing the room, which I don't think is a thing.
Oh, it's a thing. It's a thing.
I've buried bosses in the past. It is.
On Garbage Bag Day, there were quite a number of players who were talking to the media afterwards who said, no, this is, Mark Stone specifically, who said, this is on us. This is not on the coaching staff. This is not on the head coach.
Ones out there.
Yeah.
Which is true.
Like this is our fault, or words to that effect. I'm like, interesting. But I mean, it seemed unusual that they were going out of the way to say that, because not that many players in the past have said that after bad seasons on any team. Oh, it's our fault.
Oh, jeez, ask Jake Gardner.
Yeah.
Friggin'
oh, God. That was, I love that artwork. And I looked at it
after, I'm like, why is he played the second most minutes?
Because they have nobody else. They have Morgan Riley and nobody else.
So whose fault is that? Is that Jake Gardner's fault?
Well, he should have played better. I know. Hey, you saw the look on my face when I said that.
But, well, it doesn't work for the podcast.
You know what I just realized?
And I ended up tweeting that. I was just like, this is a Cody Ceci effect.
Yeah.
He's played well above his capabilities in the same way that Ben Harper is not an NHL player.
He's being played well above his capabilities. Yeah.
And Cody Ceci is the same. So you got Ceci and Harper. It's like, oh, my
God. Do you know what would be great? If you had gotten to that town hall, get there a little early, sneak like a Bluetooth speaker up somewhere, maybe not on the podium because they'd be able to find it quickly, somewhere where you couldn't find it easily. And then when we, you know, Eugene's talking, you could just insert little sound effects like sneeze, snuff, snuffy, 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 snuff. Or, you know, yodeling or whatever. Like just.
Or someone gets a good zinger like no more Burrows, you could give them a...
Yeah.
I was trying to set you up for that. The one thing that did come out after the end of the season we haven't talked about yet was the reason Mark Stone wasn't playing. He didn't play for the last, 12, 15 games of the year?
Something like that.
High ankle sprain.
Yeah.
Oof.
The ankle is a joint. So
connected to the leg bone,
Okay, I'm trying to figure out where you're going with this. That's what I'm looking at.
His concussions, whose health are you more concerned about? Mark Stone or Erik Karlsson?
Yeah.
Can't say.
Erik Karlsson's pretty much robot at this point.
And how many years left on Mark Stone's contract?
Zero.
Oh, that's right. Zero?
Zero.
Future captain.
RFA.
Okay. Like, he's an RFA, he's not a UFA. All right. Oh, I just point that out.
Yeah, future captain that you're going to drag through arbitration to save a couple bucks.
Everybody gets dragged through arbitration.
No, they don't.
Or they settle right before.
One season captain. Jason Spezza.
Oh, the media.
Maybe Mark Stone.
Fans didn't like him.
Do you want to talk about Dallas for a bit?
Oh, that was disappointing. I don't want to talk about Dallas.
Dallas?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about Dallas?
Is Hitchcock just retired?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I don't know where you're going with this.
Great for Spezza. And potential coaches is Paul McLean. It's like, frig.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul McLean is a potential coach? Oh, that'll go well.
Because apparently him and Jim Neal have a history.
Hmm. Oh, that's right. Jim Neal's there. I was thinking, yeah.
I was like, oh, man, like you either got to buy out Spezza.
Well, he's been playing fourth line. He was playing fourth line minutes under Hitchcock for a good part of the last season at $6.5 million.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a buyout in the works anyway. Speaking of buyouts. Let's go back to the Senators for just a second.
Yep.
They're not buying out anybody.
You don't think?
Nope.
I think it's part of the plan.
You see, I would...
It had to be. It had to be in that trade.
There has to be a reason they would make that trade for Gabrick. If they don't buy him out, then maybe he's long-term
injury. Freaking LTIR.
Yeah, long-term injury.
If it's LTIR, that's even better.
Yeah. But buy out Burrows. And the reason I say this is because they have to pay him two-thirds of his salary. Two-thirds? Yeah. Because he's over 35.
I'll look it up.
Actions speak louder than words at this point.
Because do they save any money? Well, by the time they pay an entry-level player to replace him, it's about the same money as his buyout would be. And people say, yeah, well, then the numbers don't make sense. They do, because the numbers are equal, but it means Alex Burrows isn't on this team anymore. So somebody else gets an opportunity to play in that position and hopefully be more useful than he was.
I agree. Yeah, so it'd be 1.6. So he's about 900 grand.
So 900 grand. That's an entry level.
Yeah.
So that opens a space.
I would rather get rid of Gabrick for sure.
I wouldn't mind getting rid of Gabrick.
And in some way, shape, or form. But instead of that, because also with that, you can't keep Burrows and trade him at the deadline for a 7.
I don't want him. I don't want him taking up a spot.
Fourth line. Who cares?
Because there might. I think there's probably somebody else more useful.
Who else do you want as an ELC?
I'd have to see who's on the team or who else could be brought in. I don't know.
For fourth line too, right? And they just don't like Nick Bolton.
Can we bring Victor Stahlberg back now that he's played in the Olympics?
I would love to bring Victor Stahlberg back. But he's going to cost you way more than 900 grand.
Okay. He's worth more than 900 grand, though.
I agree. Frig, did I ever fall in love
with him? That was a great trade. I love that one. Nate Thompson? Yeah, don't need.
Oh, God.
Or Tommy Wingles? Yeah, don't need.
Nate Thompson was fine.
He was adequate.
But twice the term that he deserved and twice the money that he deserved. And that's the problem with these things. And I don't know why they did it.
Don't know. But
Outside of Boucher knowing them.
That, and I'm happy, you know, I'd be really happy to have Victor Stahlberg back. I don't need the rest of them. That's all I'm saying.
He's all not I'm coming saying. Back.
Unfortunately, I think you're probably right.
He's over in Europe with his hot wife there. I'm sure they're
fine. It might have been an Olympic thing. Apparently, the Olympics is real important to him.
Well, and he got the opportunity to play in it. So now that that's over, maybe he has the opportunity to come back. I don't know. I don't know. Playoffs. We've already talked about the playoffs quite a bit.
No, we didn't talk about the most important thing that happened in round one.
Oh. The Leafs were eliminated?
Finally.
Well, the Bruins found it. They found a cheat.
That was stressful.
They found a shortcut. They took the Gardiner Expressway.
Oh.
Hit the button. Where is it? Where is it? That's a local reference.
It's a highway in Toronto.
For game seven, I'm just like, you know what? Because 5 years ago, I went to the Three Brewers with a buddy of mine who, he is a Leaf fan, but he's too busy to really pay attention. So I saw that game with him 5 years ago. The day before the game, I'm busy tomorrow, let's go to the game. Oh, or let's go watch a game. Oh, okay, cool. He totally forgot. I sat in the exact same place and everything. And then we wash it, and he was in so excited when they were... We didn't go to Three Brewers. We went somewhere else in Orleans. Darcy's in Orleans, I think. Yeah, Darcy's. And I made sure to sit on his left because he was on my right. And I just sat there, and I watched the game, and I was so happy. And I know that you should really be
It was back and forth.
You should be a buck. Yeah, it was a great game.
I was getting mad.
You were pissed. But just as a hockey fan, it was a wonderful game to watch. It was
a good game seven. Forth
and, yep. Yeah.
It was, but once Boston pulled ahead, that's when I cracked out the scotch.
It's like, I know that they want us to be above cheering for the Leafs to lose. I am not above.
No, it's
Schadenfreude. Do the Boston Red Sox cheer for the Yankees? Or vice versa.
It's Schadenfreude. Does there's nothing Pittsburgh wrong with
cheer
that.
For Philadelphia or vice versa? No, it's part of sports.
Or do they not care? They don't not care.
They care.
Right.
They care.
They care.
Yeah, I also like my... How is it? My
did Toronto
about,
care?
Watching Leaf, Leaf fans thinking about Thins fans thinking about Leaf fans.
What?
It's like, oh, look at the Sens fans thinking about the Leafs in the playoffs. I'm like, look at the Leaf fans thinking about the Sens fans thinking about
Leaf fans. Yeah, shouldn't you be wrapped up in your own misery and too busy to be paying attention to what I'm saying?
Granted,
I'm just saying.
Granted, I don't think that when Ottawa lost in Game 7, I don't think that any of the Toronto people were mentioning anything.
No, I'm sure it was kind of like a... And then just...
Well, it's more of a relief.
Yeah.
I was...
It was also really late.
I was...
Yeah. It was double overtime.
I think Ottawa fans probably in social media would have... stomped on the Leafs if they had gone out the way they should have in game five.
Oh.
Once they pushed it to game seven, it was like,
it was just
relief. It's just
terrified.
Yeah. It was just, okay, good.
No, I called it hate watching.
It really was.
But no,
the good thing though, when you're hate watching and all of a sudden the Leafs go up and you think you realize they're going to win, you can turn the channel.
Because you don't care that much.
It's like,
okay, see you tomorrow.
Click.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that much.
Oh.
We have one email to read.
We do?
That's
it?
We do.
Is it the one from with the picture?
Is it a
Yes,
bill?
It's the one with the photos in it. From Colin.
Oh, God, that's way too long to read.
No. Well, then I'll read it if you don't wish to. Or Canuck can read it because I'm tired of my own voice.
Yeah, I got to pull it up here.
All right. Well, do you want it? We can spell off if you want because it is pretty long.
How bad is it? That's not too bad.
As you wish. Let me know if you get tired.
All right, so we got an email from, what's he call himself here?
Colin.
Colin, okay. The light of a dark season. Morning, gents. evening to you. Well, you wrote this on April 13th. So.
It's only been 3 weeks.
Always enjoy listening to your antics, whether it's Sens related or general hockey talk. Always look forward to new episodes.
Hope you like barbecue talk. Yeah.
I assume at this point you've discussed most of the depressing topics of the season and hope that after the town hall talks and what the plan is, you can try to be hopeful for the future of this organization. You can try. I am taking this season as you have to feel the pain of defeat to really enjoy when we win. But the highlight of my year with regards to the Senators came when my daughter and I scored glass seats, 104 row A, for an amazing price and got to really enjoy the game. We talked about making a sign to try to boost an individual player, maybe even get to meet him if this was shortly after the Carlsons announced the loss of their baby boy, so we took a different approach. They made a sign that was made by my wife and daughter and simply stated, "Thoughts and prayers to the Carlsons." And he sent a picture of their daughter holding the sign. Well, later in the game, I noticed on Twitter, Wayne Cudlington, I assume you know him from being in Ottawa. Well, yeah, Wayne, took her picture. I personally don't know.
I don't know him either.
He took her picture and tweeted this with her sign. She was absolutely ecstatic about this. So, okay, so someone here in local got the picture, and he sent it. Well, as you know, the Sens lost that night. However, we thoroughly enjoyed the game, our seats, and the whole experience. The next morning, when I was getting gas, and after I paid, I noticed something interesting on the front page of the Ottawa Sun. Sure enough, is a picture of her daughter holding the sign saying, "Thoughts and prayers to the Carlson," on the front page of the newspaper. So, I hate riding the coattails of a very bad situation, but this was a highlight for me and my family, seeing my daughter on the front page of the Ottawa Sun. And just a note, if you look at the Ottawa Sun logo, yeah, that's my ugly mug they covered up. So it's hard to describe on an audio podcast, but basically the picture of him and his daughter holding the sign, the logo for the newspaper is covering up the guy's head. That's pretty funny. So I guess the whole point of this email is just to say there's still highs from the season and try to look to next year and think they can only get better. Anyway, again, a positive for me. Hope you can appreciate this experience wasn't possible without having this team in Ottawa, regardless of who the owner, GM, head coach is. And let's not get too caught up with that one person said off the cuff in an interview. This season was bad enough. Can't wait for next season, both on the ice and podcast. Until then, go Jets, go. Cheers, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. That's a kind of good news story we can use once in a while. I like it.
Well, we can get caught up in what guy says many times.
Some people like...
But now it's passed into apathy, and I don't care about you anymore.
And for everyone who says that I need to cheer for the Ottawa Senators because they're my hometown team, is no longer allowed to go to Starbucks or Second Cup or Tim Hortons because you have to go to Bridgehead.
Yeah, because it's local.
Well, Bridgehead is better, number one. Second Cup is still at least a Canadian company.
Don't complain about OC Transpo because they're local.
Actually, the last few
times... Cheer for Ottawa Hydro.
Let's go, Ottawa Hydro!
The last few times I've taken the bus, I've actually been really impressed. Like, when I came out here, I guess for our last episode, in my car and had a slightly nasty little catastrophic front-end problem.
So did you get my windshields off?
I made it out here way faster than I expected to. Like, I was from downtown
was to... Was that a Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday, and I made it from...
Friday. Yeah,
no, it was a weekend for sure. Because I was trying to figure out where I could. I had no idea what bus route to take out this far.
I thought it was Good Friday.
Okay, so reduced schedule.
Yep.
Yeah, Good Friday. Traffic. That's what it was. Yeah, that's right.
Because I remember where I went after I dropped you off.
So. How the hell did we get you out here for Good Friday?
I had already finished my religious obligations. Oh, okay. They were during the day. But I made it from downtown to Kanata. On Good Friday, in less than 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't have driven it in under, probably, at the speed limit. Driving it would be about 22, 23.
Yeah.
So, on a bus, to do it in 30?
Takes me 17.
Astonishing.
Yeah.
Absolutely astonishing.
You know, we started talking about playoffs, but maybe we should do just a quick circle there. If I have the app up. The round one. Was there any series there that surprised you?
Vegas. Vegas destroyed LA.
That surprised me.
And
sweep. And San Jose swept.
I don't understand. That's a yes, no. I didn't watch any of that. Jonathan Quick is amazing. Drew Doughty is so overrated. I don't know what he did.
It was
suspended
his time.
For game two. Yeah, Dude Audi.
Jets
and then he just whined about it and whined about it and whined about it.
Sucking up pretty
Came fast. Back for game three. They lost. Someone asked him about his game. He's like, well, I thought I played really well and blah, 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 blah. It's like, I've never heard that before. Because most other players would say, we lost the game. I have to be better.
Oh, he's a team of one.
Jets beat the Wild.
It's weird.
Norris Trophy winner.
We don't see him much. I think he was was he nominated again?
No. He was not.
Hedman Subban.
Subban. Second best defenseman on that team, and he gets nominated.
Yeah, I know.
Figure that one out. Weird. I don't get that at all. Anyway.
Yes. Jets beating Minnesota? I thought
that was a
Winnipeg
fun,
look.
That was a fun series.
Yeah.
That was a tight game.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good series.
And the only game that they lost is because they had to travel back and forth. Because rest is a weapon and they didn't get the rest.
I was surprised at how close Colorado made it for Nashville. I mean, it's 4-2, but I'm not surprised they put up a kind of fight.
Andrew Hammond in his one win was...
Hopefully he gets a contract.
That might get him a contract.
That was a fun little moment. It only lasted a day, but the whole hamburger thing.
And people are like, oh, he's back. I'm like, did you watch?
How fun would that have been if he had brought them back to a game seven? Like, that would have been a little fun. Boston, Toronto, we talked about. Pittsburgh and Flyers, I was a little surprised at the lack of fight.
That was a disappointing series because Philadelphia just did not play well.
Thank you once again, Brian Elliott, for being Brian Elliott.
Yeah.
He just killed the mojo. And then once they pulled him, they were pretty good.
You know what did surprise me?
That went to six, right?
It went six, actually.
Yeah.
Was Capitals and Blue Jackets. I thought Capitals would have walked all over them, but I guess Blue Jackets have been pretty good lately.
Blue Jackets are a good team, but that was the coach's fault for leaving Grubauer in game two.
It was game one he went with him.
Game one, I get. Game two, you had to go to Holtby, and then Holtby won four straight.
Is that how it worked? It did, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holtby came in game two, but the game is already lost.
Anything else? I think we've talked it out.
Round two is just...
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Winnipeg, Nashville is a great series to watch.
I'm enjoying it. I don't get to watch a lot of it, but I'm enjoying that which Vegas, I can catch when I can
Vegas
catch it.
I know.
Vegas and Sharks.
Sharks. That's a good series, too.
My goodness.
I think two overtime games.
Well, the two teams that swept, meeting in the second round.
Yeah, so I think Vegas has three.
And Winnipeg and Nashville. Like, that's two pretty good series.
Those are
series.
Two.
I mean, whoever comes out of either of those series meeting the other one.
I don't have anything.
That's another good series.
I kind of like all four of those teams.
Yeah. If Nashville wins, they're going to go to the finals. Winnipeg, Vegas, I don't know.
Oh, I see what you're
Nashville's
saying.
Walking all over Winnipeg, but they've kept into it. Pitt, Washington, like, yes, please.
Ugh,
it's a fun
It's been done.
Yeah, but you're grueling. Just kind of hoping that Washington
can do it. If Washington
could
do it.
Especially for a draft pick. So I got to go for Washington
there we go.
This time.
There you go. I've been just cheering for Washington back. Anyway.
Is it still tied? Probably, eh?
Mm.
And then what's the other series?
Yeah, 2-2.
East. Is Boston-Tampa?
Oh, whatever.
No, it's good. It's real good hockey.
I haven't been watching it. But I don't really care who wins.
Go Tampa. It's going to be. Bosses.
Yeah.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend in the first series. Then they revert to being my enemy.
Yeah. And people are like, why are you cheering for Boston? I'm like, I'm not cheering for Boston.
I'm cheering against Toronto.
And then after, like, all right, well, Boston, go
on. I'm honest about this. I'm very straight. I even told a Boston fan at work, I said, I'm cheering for Boston in the first round.
I'm not even cheering for Boston. I just want Toronto to lose.
And you know what?
You got to cheer for one for the other. But
Boston this time because they were against the Leafs. I actually was enjoying Rene Rancourt when he came out.
Oof.
He came out and he's just the cheesiest cheese ball of all like nonsense singers. And I was just enjoying it.
But he can sing. There's all the other stuff.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
His voice, let me rephrase.
His voice is finished, but he can sing.
Could sing.
No, he can.
Well, he's singing. I agree.
He's still better than a lot of other anthem singers, even with a finished operatic voice.
Hmm.
The Toronto one drives me crazy. one is
the
Ferrari.
Ottawa. Oh, Ottawa one drives me crazy.
I like that.
There's another.
Oh, I like that.
Character. Oh, okay. That's reminds me of
gonna my have his Grandma Homer Gears. Moment anyways,
but. Yeah.
Hey.
Just remind me of a Grandma Gears thing.
Oh well, we're about at that point. I think. I got nothing else to really talk about. We've done.
What do you do with the Pittsburgh pick?
What? Burn it down.
Well, it's the opportunity.
Yeah, draft Eugene Melnyk with it.
It's the if you could.
You could.
Hmm.
I'm a coach.
Where's Colorado picking?
No way. You're going to trade a 22nd.
No, no. Where are they picking? I don't know.
Where's that pick going to end up? It's going to end up 31st. Oh,
Colorado? No, they were in the playoffs, so 16th, I think.
Oh, forget Penguins.
You need to give something else up, and you're not going to do that.
Don't worry, but that pick is going to be 31st, so just accept it.
Penguins just
scored. Oh, they just scored again? And it, too.
And guess who scored it? You'll never guess. I'll give you 87 guesses.
Nice. Oh, that's subtle. I like that. Yeah.
So it was Rust?
Yes.
Huh? I've got 86 to go.
Okay. I want to be sedated. Sorry.
I would trade that thing down for 2 seconds.
However, take a look at the score in the bottom.
Yeah, Jets came back. 3-3 now.
Well, that was 3-0 when I last showed you that.
Yep. Wow. Wow. Have they changed goalies again?
I don't think so. Steve Mason is crap.
That's true. That's true.
All right. Let's wrap this up so we can watch this game.
Let's go. What grinds your gears?
You can get pizza.
No, we're going for Indian.
Yes. You know what really grinds my gears?
Fisher scored.
I don't really have one this
week. I'll tell you two things.
All right.
I just came to mind. One is the price of gas.
Okay, fair enough. I do have one now.
Why is it so high?
Because you will pay it. That's why.
It's market driven.
You will pay it.
See, on a weekend when it fluctuates by 20 cents.
Yep. You'll pay it. Well, there's a station up the street from me that in the morning, we'll just say, it's $1.35 in the morning. In the evening, it's $1.27.
If we
same station.
Do you know the answer to this for our U.S. friends? If we were to convert this to their gallon, what is it, about $6 right now a gallon?
Well, it's 3.78 liters per U.S. gallon. So it's three, but then you also have to factor in exchange.
Right. $6?
Probably.
$6 a gallon, and they're paying what, $3.80, $3.90?
I have no idea what the cost of fuel is in the U.S.
Look it up.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
And we have a 10 cents carbon tax, and not into the politics of carbon tax, but is that money actually going to alternative fuel research?
Don't get Americans are on carbon tax.
Is that money going to alternative fuel research, or is it going in the general coffers?
Don't know.
I bet you it's going to the general coffers.
Probably.
The carbon tax?
I don't know.
The provincial or federal?
Listen, if the... Provincial. That's all provincial. Provincial. But if the liberals are looking to run into a deficit when the market's in a freaking high, I don't... It's going to be a mess.
The other thing that grinds my gears...
A mess.
You just reminded me was on Anthem Singers. I may have mentioned this before. I hate it when people swoop the American National Anthem.
Swoop?
They swoop into the notes. The most common one they'll do it is... I'll just say the words. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Or the ramparts we watch? Or the ramparts we watch?
Oh, like slur them together in a.
They don't hit the note. It said, or the ram.
You listen. Oh, I see.
90% of the singers do that. They think they're being stylish or something.
They're taking a national anthem and making it their own.
No. Not even if they modify the rhythm or... But
they're doing it the way they want to, rather than as written.
Actually, there was one singer in the playoffs who just took so many liberties, it was so humorous. I can't remember who it was.
At least it wasn't the one from your high school, though. Jesus, she was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was here.
Cheapest seat, $1.39. Oklahoma.
$1.39.
So what'd that convert
for gallon?
Yeah.
No.
That's the cheapest gas
price. A U.S. gallon. $1.39.
Yeah. No. Right? Really?
Yep.
So $1.39.
U.S. dollars?
It's Oklahoma. New York's at $2.01.
What?
Yeah.
We're paying what?
1.3. We're paying $1.39 Canadian per liter.
Yes. So times four. So
that would be 37 U.S. cents per liter.
And we're paying $1.39 Canadian.
Yeah. Well, we'll just say multiply by 1.2.
We're paying over double.
44-45 Canadian cents per liter.
If you have health care and you like it, clap your hands.
Yeah.
But it can't drive to the hospital. Yeah.
That's why you call an ambulance.
Well, I need a gun so that I can get my son on a plane so I can bring him to Italy so he can get health care there.
Just don't.
I legit saw that as an argument.
Don't light your shoes on fire. Don't light his shoes on fire.
Yeah.
What grinds my gears, you reminded me of something this morning. I was driving to work and suddenly all the traffic signals went out.
Oh.
Went off. Now.
And people have no idea what to do.
You floor it, right?
They it's not that they don't have an idea what to do. I don't think they care to know what to do. Because I approached a rather major intersection. And some people who know what to do when approaching a traffic signal when the lights are out. Back up the story a little bit. They went out as I was approaching a traffic signal, which was green for me at the time. Green, white walking sign, no flashing hand, everything is good. So I looked at the light, and I was then looking at the traffic around me, and suddenly realized there were cars pulling out in opposition traffic. Like the cross street was suddenly pulling out. I went, well, what are you doing? It's a green light. I looked up, the light's out. So I had to stand on my binders to stop, because what had happened was the power had gone out. So the red light had gone off, and about four cars in the opposite travel of traffic had just said, oh, red light's off, time to go. Not there's a green light, it's there's not a red light. And as soon as there's not a red light,
well, it's not flashing.
Off they went.
How'd that work out, by the way?
Well, I managed to get stopped before I T-boned one of them, which is nice. And then I got up to the next major intersection. Or the next intersection, which is the major one, and rather than being the okay, two car, you know, first cars go, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, it would be five cars go in this direction because we're all turning or we're all going through, so we're all like one car goes and then all the other ones behind them just follow.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Their time is more important, don't you know?
Well, it's. I honestly think it's people.
People are dumb.
They don't know that it's a four-way stop. Is it? Well, those cars are going. I'm going too. They honestly don't know how to drive.
Listen, I was driving home 2 days ago. People are using the green light as a stop sign.
Well,
two cars did it while I was trying to turn left. I was like, on Bridgestone, I think. It's just like, you guys, please figure it out and drive. And then he's like, oh, oops, it went. The guy behind him stopped at the light. I'm like, someone's going to die.
As I was sitting waiting at these lights, just to show how people don't pay attention to their driving.
Someone's going
to
crash and die, and I'm going to kill.
I watched the guy in the minivan next to me, whose window was rolled down, adjust the volume on his radio 7 times in just over a minute.
Yes.
He kept raging over, turning it up. It was terrible music, but anyway. And I was looking at him going, because I could see this movement out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, why does he keep adjusting that? And the better question was, what was the weather like today? It was a beautiful day, yes?
Yeah.
Gorgeous day. The better question is not why is he adjusting the volume on his radio constantly. The better question is, why are his windshield wipers going?
Well, maybe he just sprayed it.
Nope.
No?
They were going for 5 straight minutes.
Were they going with the beat?
They were on delay because it was raining a day or two ago, so I guess he had them running through that. But he was, I was following him down... I was. Well, this was at about 9 o'clock. It was a beautiful day by that point. Yeah.
Okay, it was raining on my.
Maybe he was a Leafs fan. He had the rain sensing wipers, and it was his tears.
But he hadn't turned. So the windshield.
Both of you said tears at the same time.
So he's driving with the windshield wipers on the inside.
I'm actually hungry. Are we going to go eat?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yes.
We're going for Indian.
No.
It was one of those moments where turn your windshield wipers off and stop adjusting your radio. Anyway, anything grind your gears? No? Yes?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just everything Eugene Melnick says.
Golfers. People don't let you play through.
My front nine was great. The back nine, holy geez.
Oh.
I mean, I had a very effective day at work today.
Oh. Okay.
Collaboration.
Oh, well, that's okay. As long as that works for you.
Team meeting.
On a golf course? At the with the cart cat?
It's an opportunity for...
collaborating.
Getting your business and collaborating with partners.
All right.
Don't worry.
Yeah, I did work on Sunday and I felt way too guilty.
What time did it start?
1:15.
What time did it end?
4! See yourself there.
So where are we going for dinner?
Indian.
No!
All right, quick housekeeping since I forgot at the beginning.
Yep.
The email. We will be back. We're going to be back after, not after, right after the draft, but after the draft and free
after
agency.
Eric Carlson gets traded, we'll have one last rant.
And then where we just change to the call-ups.
The Vegas call-ups.
Not just call-ups. No one figured it.
We'll have to change the phone number. But we'll be back sometime.
Might have to change the phone number.
Hey, you
anyway.
Know what?
July.
There's a Carlson on Vegas already.
God, he's good.
He's not 65.
He's so good.
Wild Bill.
Yep.
Wild Bill. It's like, oh yeah, you.
You'll see all your favorite players like Carlson and Marc Gasol.
Like, yeah, my favorite player is Eric Halla. It's like, why?
It just is.
Third line plug. Don't well, ask, not plug, but he's a third line player.
Don't ask too many questions. So we will be back after the draft and after free agent frenzy and after Eric Carlson has a new contract, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll be able to send your thoughts to us.
Congratulations, Tampa Bay Lightning, on signing Eric Carlson in your sign and trade.
Well, if we get Stamkos and Hedman back, okay.
I'd
make that trade.
Carlson, I don't know.
Carlson for Hedman and Stamkos? I'd make that trade. Carlson and Ryan for Stamkos.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Is Hugo Offerson draft eligible?
No, he's your daughter's age.
Oh, is he draft eligible? How old do you have to be?
18.
Oh. I don't know. Just preemptively draft him.
Who?
Well, we know if you'd be
Daniel Offerson's son.
We know if you'd be going to the OHL. Which would be next year. I don't know what quality level that they.
I have no idea.
Because they drafted 15.
Imagine if you could do that. You could draft
at any draft
age.
Why did they draft at OHL? So 15 or 16?
16.
Okay, so it's still a couple of years.
Because they can play 4 years.
One more.
And I honestly don't know what level that they are playing.
No idea.
Well, you know, it just magically transcends from the father, doesn't it? That talent just.
You. That's quite the sound effect.
Here. Wow. Moving on. Yeah. You can email us your thoughts about the draft, about free agent frenzy, about whatever's going on. Just say hello, whatever you like. Our email address is podcast@sensecallups.com. You can. Oh, we had a voicemail submission.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we had a Grinds Gear one.
Yeah.
Let me cue that up.
Forgot that. So while you're queuing that up, you can leave us a voicemail on the waiver. I did. And then I erased them all. Because, you know, kind of like this season. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-6565.
Smart move.
Yeah. I took notes. I just chose to ignore them by erasing them. So let us know, if you want, what you're thinking, what's going on, especially with what goes on at the draft. Because we know something is... There's always something that happens at the draft, whether it's the Senators or somebody else. Something interesting will happen at the draft.
Are you allowed to... are you going to share your thoughts for the in-game experience? Is that safe?
I'm going to write that down at some point.
Cool. All right. So here's our voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's CB Inc. calling. You know what really grinds my gears? Boots. I mean, this storm just came through Toronto here.
Oh, Jesus.
And
dated.
My boots... You know, what really bugs me is waterproof boots that aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little dated. That was one hell of a storm.
Yes.
Work didn't have power for 18 hours.
Oh, that's fun.
I drove in. I'm like, wow, this was the fastest drive in. Get there. I'm like, where are all the lights out?
Oh, was that the ice storm from?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I drove home from the cottage.
Why?
I drove home from the cottage.
You need to save that picture. And use that all the time. That picture that we're going to use.
Well, you know how I got
it
that.
It kind of looks like the...
I searched Guy Boucher in capital gains knowing that he'd have great ones. And image search.
You know that one? Is it Eddie Murphy? It was always kind of...
Oh, yeah.
That kind of looks like that.
Ah. All right. Well, folks. Oh, yes. He's thinking. He's a thinking man.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We're done. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for your support.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to us, in spite of the fact that it's not been a great
season. Is this a wrap-up of the season?
Yeah.
I guess so, eh?
Because the next one will be the summer episode.
Burn it down!
I think we already did that.
Do it again!
All right.
But thank you for listening to us. Thank you to everybody who donated to us. Thank you to our guests who came on with us.
I swear it was only Ian Mendes multiple times with them. No, we got Dean, yeah. I was never able to connect times with Jamie, unfortunately.
We tried, yeah.
Because I really wanted his point of view on a lot of things.
We'll try again for next
and
year.
And we will try to be more consistent.
Well, we got to try and get our...
be as consistent as the team.
We were this season.
Yeah, there you go. We were consistent. We're consistently inconsistent.
So this is all on Merkstone.
Nice. All right. Well, that's it for us.
Enjoy the nice weather.
Yeah. On behalf of the two gentlemen sitting at the table with me, Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. Thank you very much for listening, not only to this episode, but all season. We'll talk to you in July.
Go Knights, go.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost